It's our telephone talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us this morning. Today on the show, we're going to do another one of our big book programs. The idea here is that we have a couple of guests who are passionate readers and very interested in books. And what they do is they come and they bring big armloads of things that they have been reading and that they would like to recommend. And I will tell you personally, I have just... Well, I was on vacation and I read four novels that were recommended on this show, and I thought they were all great. And I'm sure that we'll have some good things to recommend to you this morning.
Just call us the Santas of literature.
There you go. And people who are listening can do the same thing, too. If there's a book that you have read lately that you thought was very, very good, we'd be very happy to have your recommendation. Or if you're interested in a particular kind of thing, they may be able to suggest a title or author that you might want to look at. That's a little harder, but, you know, it's not impossible. We've done that on the show before. So that's kind of the territory for the program here. Before we get going, though, I must remind you that this is one of those times that we ask for your financial support for this station. It's very, very important. It's a big chunk of our budget comes from listeners. And so a couple of times a year, we say, now is the time. If you appreciate the shows that you hear on our station, we'd like you to help support them with a contribution. If you're already a friend, we hope that you would renew. Maybe you could increase your gift a little bit. And if you've never made a contribution to the station, now would be a great time to do it. There's a separate number to do that. It's 244-9455, and it will take just a moment or two. And we hope that you will do that this morning. As a special incentive, once again this year, we're doing what we like to call Dave and Jack's, or I should say Crazy Dave and Jack's, Big Book Giveaway. We receive many, many books throughout the year from publishers who would like us to interview the authors. Some authors we do, some we don't. Most of the books are good, and that's not always a judgment that says, no, this book's no good. There's just so many things that we can do and a certain territory that we've carved out for ourselves. But we do accumulate these books, and every once in a while we try to give them away. Sometimes we give them to people who work here, but in this case, we're going to give them to you. All we're asking is that you will call in and make a pledge, at least at the basic membership level, which is $40, or if you're a student or on a fixed income, $25. And if you can pledge more, that would be great. But all we're asking is just the basic deal. And then when you call in, tell the volunteer that takes your pledge, if you would like a book, we can give you two choices, either fiction or nonfiction. It gets more complicated if we go beyond that. But we do have novels, and then we do have a lot of other books that are nonfiction, and generally things like that have to do with politics, some history, some biography, things like that. We'll pick. It will be a recent book, and if we can, hardcover. I don't know if everything's in hardcover, but it'll be something good, and we hope that you will appreciate it as a way of our saying thanks. So call in, make a pledge, 244-9455. And either at the basic level, $40, or for students, people on fixed income, $25, or more if you can. And along with our thanks, we will send you a book. So we hope that you will do that. Now, let's see. Have we run out of time? No, we still have time. We'd like to say welcome to our guests. The two of them have been here before to do the show, and we're really pleased that they could come back and do it again with us. Tanya Leotsakos from Pages for All Ages Bookstore, and Philip Graham. He's a writer and teaches writing here at University of Illinois. And they brought with him a bunch of books, and we'll talk about them. And we'll be happy to take calls. By the way, if you'd like to call into the show, that number is the same as always, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. No one will require you to pledge if you would like to call in. Separate deal, two separate things. So don't worry about that, because we certainly would like to hear from you if you'd like to call in. Well, it's nice to have you here again. We did this in the summertime, I guess.
Maybe early summer, I think, yeah.
And I did, when I was on vacation just a couple of weeks ago, I took four novels
I'm interested, which ones?
I read The Chess Garden, The Intuitionist, The House of Sleep, and The Sparrow.
Isn't The House of Sleep incredible? And The Sparrow.
And now I'm reading the sequel, Children of God.
God.
And I'm almost finished. Yeah. What an amazing, those are amazing books.
Yeah, aren't they? They're
and
great.
Actually, all of them, I find myself, when I was reading all of those books, I was thinking, if ever in my life I had, you know, nursed the idea that perhaps I could be a writer, well, I've just abandoned it. Because I don't know how it is that people have that kind of imagination. Where ideas come.
Yeah, because, ask Philip, because I don't
there's
either.
There's a warehouse outside of Baltimore where a dollar an idea you can mention.
So yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
I also
want to give you the address.
I also want to say that this summer I read Philip's novel, How to Read an Unwritten
Language.
And
phenomenal.
It's a beautiful book.
It's a beautiful book.
Thank you. Philip, it's a beautiful book. And I would certainly recommend that to folks.
Thank you very much.
Very, very nice. But I thought those four were just exceptional. We're all not only were entertaining, but were really very well written and showing some just spectacular imagination, stories that are so engaging and go in directions that you never would have expected. You couldn't predict what was going to happen. And interestingly enough, at least two, if not more, had dealt with sort of spiritual themes, which was one. They had some odd, interesting things in common. So I thought that they were very good. Yeah. So I'm looking for some more.
We've got more here.
Okay.
We've got more here.
You want me to start?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's see. I think I'll start with a new novel by Mark Salzman. It's called Lying Awake. I don't tend to read too many religious novels, but this one interested me a great deal, and it's just beautifully written and just gives you a wonderful idea of convent life. It's about a convent full of nuns, and one of them is having some very intimate contact with God. And she's having visions, and she's having sort of, well, we don't know if they're hallucinations or if they're really occurring, but the best thing about the book besides that is that just that it's beautiful the way these people live, and I guess I just didn't know much about nuns, and so I'd like to read this passage just of, you know, part of their everyday life. The Queenship of Mary. The scent of fresh bread greeted the sisters as they filed into the refectory for noon dinner, the main meal of the day. Each nun stopped in the center of the room to bow toward the cross, then went to her place to stand until after grace had been said. At the signal from the prioress, they sat down and fastened their napkins to their habits. They sat in pairs at small tables, all facing the center of the room. Mother Emmanuel and Mother Mary Joseph shared a table with a replica of a human skull resting on it, a reminder of everyone's mortality and the insignificance of the austerities they endured now. After the prioress had given the benediction, Sister Angelica took the reader's place at the rostrum and began reciting the day's selection, a passage from Augustine's Sermons on 1 John. The entire life of a good Christian is in fact an exercise of holy desire. You do not yet see what you long for, but the very act of desiring prepares you so that when he comes you may see and be utterly satisfied. Sister Miriam began the server's slow march around the table, ladling vegetarian soup into each nun's bowl. The rest of the meal, bread, butter, and a spinach salad, was already on the table. Sister Elizabeth signaled for a spoon for her table mate by raising her index and middle fingers. A Carmelite never asked for anything for herself in the refectory except bread and water. Sister Miriam signaled back with three taps on the chest, "Sorry," and returned with a wooden spoon. The nuns made as little noise as possible while they ate, focusing their attention on the reader's voice. The contemplative ideal of keeping one's mind on spiritual matters at all times was never more threatened than while putting food into the body. For that reason, decorum in the refectory was maintained as strictly as it was in the choir. Speech was forbidden in that room except during special feasts and nuns' jubilee celebrations. God means to fill each of you with what is good, so cast out what is bad. If he wishes to fill you with honey and you are full of sour wine, where is the honey to go? The vessel must be emptied of its contents and then be cleansed. Yes, it must be cleansed even if you have to work hard and scour it. It must be made fit for the new thing, whatever it may be. When the prioress struck the wooden clapper to end the meal, Sister John winced. A headache had begun troubling her that morning during manual labor, and a whole hour remained before private prayer when she could retire to her cell without drawing attention to herself. She gathered all of the crumbs on her napkin and ate them, a reminder of Jesus's admonition, "Gather up the fragments that remain, lest they be lost. To waste anything would be a fault against her vow of poverty." Now, the interesting thing about this is that this headache is the first in a series of many, many very, very troubling headaches for her. Mm. And it turns out, once a doctor visits her, that these visions she may be having are not real at all, that they're a result of the headaches. And that's terribly distressing to her, mm-hmm. being that she's a nun and she yeah. feels she's having all of these wonderful things mm-hmm. happen to her. So the whole book really is about her fear that that's true and her dealing with these headaches yeah. and wondering if maybe...
Wow, well, that sounds yeah. wonderful. Hmm. That sounds as if the author must have spent time in a convent.
Absolutely. The whole thing. But, I mean, you wouldn't believe the detail.
But it's Mark Salzman.
Mark Salzman.
He can't be a nun.
Can't be a nun. Mm-hmm. He's a man.
It makes me think about my reaction to some of the books that I read and the thing that I said about mm-hmm. Being impressed with the imagination of authors. And it's true that that does impress me. And at the same time, I guess I'm starting to think more and more about how... novelist, at least some novelist, and I know actually, Philip, that you've talked about this.
Lots of research.
Do a lot of research.
When
I was reading the Intuitionist, which was this book about the woman who was the elevator
inspector.
The elevator,
yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Celeste Quinn on the Afternoon Magazine did an interview with mm-hmm. Colson Whitehead,
yeah.
the guy who wrote the book, and I asked her, and I said, you remember when you talked to him? Did you ask him about all the stuff in this about elevators? Is he making this up? and in fact, he said, no. He actually did do a lot of research about yeah. elevators yeah. and how yeah. they worked. And the stuff that's in the book, he didn't make it up.
No.
And I was – that, again, started me thinking differently about the whole thing that yeah. – you do, in fact, end up maybe deciding that you need to go out and you need to learn about some things
Absolutely.
So that then when you write about them, yeah. you'll have some some technical expertise and some subject.
Absolutely. I mean, one thing that, writers talk about is write what you know. Mm-hmm. But write what you know means a lot more than simply what you happen to know right this moment, also when you say, I see. There are two meanings to that. I see as in I actually visually see it, but also I see as in I understand. I would suspect that Mark Salzman did an awful lot of research about that, and he did very good research because it seems very convincing. But I think he also must know something about having a crisis of faith.
Surely.
Because that's
yeah.
really what this novel is about. And mm-hmm. so what I bet he does is he's transposing something that he knows about that subject into another character who's very different from him, into another and very different space. And so he may know about that by research, the exterior details, but the interior details he must know in some other profound way. There's a writer named Ian McMillan who's written a lot about World War II. Never served in World War II. He lives in Hawaii, and he wrote this wonderful, wonderful book that's basically set in the Eastern theater of the war. And there's this one chapter about a Russian grandfather, who's walking through this blasted, frozen landscape with his three grandchildren, trying to find them some safety. And the details of the cold are such bitter cold. They're so amazing. Now he lives in Hawaii. How did he get that right? He never fought in that war. Didn't know anything about it. Well, a couple things. One, he has children. So he must know, if he were putting himself in a position of having to save his children, what lengths he would go to do that. He knows what that is. And also, and this is maybe a little cheating, he grew up in northern New York, so I think he probably knows a little bit about cold, even though he's living in Hawaii right now. But you got to get the exterior details right. But most important, you have to get the interior details right. What makes your character tick? Hmm.
Our guest here this morning on Focus, Philip Graham, Tanya Liatsakos, and this is one of those book shows. We just encourage them to bring in books they've been reading and talk about them. And also, people who are listening can do the same. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. And the last book that we talked about that Tanya mentioned is titled Lying Awake, and the author is Mark Salzman, Salzman, if you want to go out and look for that.
Okay, well, I think I will start with a book by José Saramago, who won the Nobel Prize a couple years ago. This is his latest novel. He's wonderful. This is his latest novel called All the Names, or in Portuguese, Todos Nomes, which I want to say. Let me say it again. Todos Nomes.
That's pretty cool.
Well,
where'd you get that?
Alma, my wife and I were taking Portuguese lessons, so, I want to read Saramago in the original someday. But anyway, this is a story about Senor Jose, who works in the central registry in an unnamed city that very well could be Lisbon, and it's where all the names are taken down. People who were born, their births are registered, their marriages are registered, their divorces are registered, and then finally, of course, their deaths are registered. And all they are names. All they are statistics. And though Senor Jose is a... he on the outside he would look like a faceless, nameless bureaucrat himself. finds himself, without really understanding why, beginning very interested in what's behind the names. And so what he begins to do is he collects all the famous people from Portugal. He's got a top 100 list, and he's collecting all their cards, and he's writing down the secret information, you know, when he's not working. And one day he discovers a card stuck to one of the famous people whose information he's collected, who's not a famous person. And he becomes very interested in who this person is, and he starts, after work, searching, trying to find out where she is and what she's like. And this is about his search. And he's having quite a hard time doing this, too, by the way. And whenever he gets frustrated, he goes back to his house and he lies on his bed and he looks up at the ceiling, and the ceiling talks to him, and he talks to the ceiling. So this is the ceiling talking to him. The ceiling was saying, "There was no reason why you should go looking for this woman unless..." "Unless what?" "Unless you were doing it out of love." "Only a ceiling could come up with such an absurd idea. I believe I've told you on another occasion that the ceilings of houses are the multiple eye of God." "I don't remember. I may not have said it in those precise words, but I'm saying it now. Tell me then how I could possibly love a woman I didn't even know and whom I've never seen." "That's a good question. There's no doubt about it. But only you can answer it. The idea doesn't have a leg to stand on." "It doesn't matter whether it's got legs or not. I'm talking about quite another part of the anatomy, the heart, the thing that people say is the engine and seat of affections. I repeat that I could not possibly love a woman I didn't know, whom I never saw except in some old photos." "You wanted to see her. You wanted to know her. And that, whether you like it or not, is love." "These are the imaginings of a ceiling." "They're your imaginings. A man's imaginings, not mine. You're so arrogant. You think you know everything about me." "I don't know everything. But I must have learned a thing or two after all these years of living together. I bet you've never considered that you and I live together. The great difference between us is that you only notice me when you need advice and cast your eyes upwards, while I spend all my time looking at you."
Mm-hmm. I like that very much.
He's never written a bad book.
No, he's incapable of writing a bad book.
Yeah.
So this is Jose Saramago's. It's Saramago. Mm-hmm. That's right. And it's titled All the Names.
No, Todos Nomes.
Oh. do it again for me.
Todos Nomes. Oh. Isn't that nice?
How do you say it very good in Portuguese?
Muito bem.
Did we talk about blindness last time?
I think we have. Yeah, we could go through the whole corpus. It's just amazing.
Oh, he's incredible.
So if one would read that book and like it,
go to any other one.
Any other one. All right. We have several callers here to talk with. Why don't we talk with a couple of folks who are listening? The first caller here in line is in Wellington. Line number 4 is the line. Hello.
Yes. About 6 weeks or so ago, Celeste had on a lady in the afternoon who was a nurse practitioner. By the name of Elizabeth Tate, and I was a lucky soul and received a copy of her book. And it's called Unforgettable Faces Through the Eyes of a Nurse Practitioner, and I found it to be very interesting. It's a series of vignettes of people that she had treated during the course of her time working at an inner-city clinic. And then it's interspersed with kind of more little vignettes of more straight medical information. And it would appeal to both people that are in the medical field and just ordinary people. It kind of put a lot of books that are medically written are kind of clinical, and these kind of put a face to people. And you saw that some of the other things that, maybe in their life helped or hindered their care. And I just thought it was a really interesting book, and I was really glad to receive it.
Oh, great. And tell us the name, remind us the name of the author again.
Okay, it's the name of the author is Elizabeth D. Tate, mm-hmm. and Michael R. Prenzatelli.
She had a little help.
But Elizabeth Tate was the one that Celeste had interviewed.
Right, and the title of the book is Unforgettable Faces?
Yes, okay. The Eyes of a Nurse Practitioner.
Yeah. Yeah, great okay. title. Very great good. Title. And she is now living in some, is it that she's, do I remember right, she's living in Springfield or somewhere in central Illinois, or that she was from here or something like that?
You know, I don't know. I kind of missed the beginning of the program that day, mm-hmm. but I had had a kind of a good experience with a nurse practitioner myself, and I decided to call in that day, and I... Like I said, I got lucky. I called at the right time. I got the book, and I found it to be very interesting.
Great.
And
well,
I think it would appeal to, the general public.
Very good. Very good. Well, thanks for the recommendation. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's see. We take another person here. It'll be Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi. I'm calling in to add to the discussion about Mark Salzman, and I was delighted that you mentioned this book. I haven't read the new novel, but I'm a real Mark Salzman fan, and there's a wonderful profile about that book in the October 2nd New Yorker. And if you know Mark Salzman's work, you know, it is incredible that he's writing about a nun because he's a complete agnostic. I teach his memoir at the university, and he knows a lot about Chinese philosophy, but nothing about Christianity. So it's incredible that he's written this book about a nun's life. But what he says in the article is that, as Philip said, it's a metaphor for his commitment to being a writer. And he says, you devote all these years of your life to something, you don't know if it'll make any difference, that's unreasonable. And he says, I take it on faith that art is worthwhile. I go on because I believe it's the right thing to do, not because I know it is. So anyway, I just wanted to add that to your discussion and hope your listeners will read everything by Mark Salzman. He's a wonderful, witty, interesting writer.
That was a great quote, too.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call.
Bye-bye.
We need to pause here for just a moment to remind folks that we're here, in addition to here introducing you to some new books, we're also here looking for your financial contributions to the station. And we do, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, have a special incentive. Since this is a book program, we're giving away books. We have a bunch of them. We have fiction and nonfiction. You can have your choice, one or the other. We'll pick something good for you. It'll be something recently published of quality, we promise. We're just asking that people call in and make a pledge, either at the basic level, $40, or at the fixed income student level, which is $25. So you can do that right now, and we have volunteers, as they say, standing by, ready to take the call. And also here in the studio with me, Jack Brighton, and we're going to talk with Maeve Riley,
Patterns magazine editor out there.
She's in Pledge Central. How are you this morning, Maeve?
I'm fine. I'm doing well. We're waiting for the phones to ring. And, you know, we've got the great Crazy Dave and Jack's giveaway here, some books to give away if people want to call and make a pledge at the $40 level or above. And tell the volunteer if you want a fiction or a nonfiction book, and we'll be happy to give you one.
That's great. And we've done this a couple of times now, and it seems to have been very popular. So we thought, well, let's do it. We believe in reading.
Yeah.
We can recommend
that.
That's
right.
We like books.
The other thing is
we got books.
Boy, do we got books. Let me tell you, we have so many great books. Everyone in all the publishing companies out there knows that Crazy Dave and Jack really like good books. So they send us all these books, and we just don't have we're lousy with books.
They must go. We have to move them.
All these books got
to
go.
They're bargain price to move because, you know, how do we do it? Volume, volume, volume. That's the way that we do it. And we have to make room for the new 2001 models. So all of them must go. And actually, we're really happy to do that. We hope that you'll get something that you enjoy. One of the things we like to try to do with the programs here on Focus and the Afternoon Magazine is introduce people to good books. Both, you know, Celeste really likes to talk to novelists and has done probably more of that than I have. And we do a lot of books on all subjects, and we believe in that. We believe in books. I'd like to tell
you. I've been in that back room. I've seen that stack of books you have there, you know?
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
just want to tell everybody that each book has a front and a back cover. And not only that, but I check every page is numbered.
That's right. These
are good books.
Yeah, there is a downside, though, to all these books. They contain ideas, and ideas are dangerous.
Well, and we say, I certainly would tell people, you know, read at your own risk. If you encounter some disturbing ideas, some things that maybe lead you to start examining what you think you believe, I am not going to be held responsible for that.
No.
Don't blame us. If you read something and it just gives you a kind of a headache afterwards.
Read at your own risk.
That's right.
244-9455. Get on Crazy Dave and Jack's book giveaway. Make a pledge.
Have we gotten some pledges, Maeve?
Yeah, we have. We've gotten, there's two right now, Martha and... And Heather's on the phone. We've got three people calling in right now, and also Dwayne Dasso called in. And, yeah, we're getting lots of calls here. Those books are going to be gone.
Well,
I've seen your stack of books, but I think they're going to be gone soon.
I'm sure probably in the mail today we'll get four or five new ones. That's okay. There are always new ones that come in. And I think when we've done this before, we've probably done, we've gotten maybe 20 or 25 people.
That's great.
Calling to do this.
Yeah.
So it's good. And this is kind of early in the, I think when we've done this in the past, we've done it kind of near the end when the momentum is like the proverbial avalanche. And it would help us to really get the avalanche started a little earlier in the week. So this would be a good time for you to call.
Because if we don't give them away, we're going to have to burn them.
Uh-oh.
No, don't tell people that.
No.
No, actually, we're going to compost them. We're going to take them to the city of Urbana to their yard waste place.
Yeah. All seriousness aside, these are trade, new publications, hardcover, high quality, a lot of great nonfiction books that you probably see on the new releases shelves in the bookstores now, a lot of great novels, so you can take your pick. And anyone who calls our pledge line, makes a pledge, $40 or higher, gets a book.
All right. Well, thank you both very much. We will check back with you in a bit to see how we're doing. Please do call us, 244-9455. Call, make a pledge, particularly if you have not been a supporter of the station in the past. If you can, it would be great. We would appreciate it very much. And also, if you want to call in here on the show, 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL, same as always. We do have a caller to talk with.
Sure.
Shall we do that? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and also I should say our guests here, Philip Graham, Tanya Leotsakos. A caller is here in Aurora, line 3. Hello.
Yes, hi, good morning. Mm-hmm. Delightful programming. I have about three things I'd like to cover. I want to thank the woman for calling up and giving the name and the author of Unforgettable Faces. I was listening to the program that day and didn't get the name of the book and wanted to give it to my daughter for Christmas because she is a nurse practitioner. So thank you. And the other thing I wanted to say is I'd like to pledge $50 and up it up to $100 if you get five bird watchers or nurses to call up. I would up the amount. And the other thing I wanted to ask about was, do you have a biography or autobiography of preferably a woman that would be of interest to somebody in their 50s?
Surely. We have a large biography section at the bookstore, as I'm sure they all do. It kind of depends on who she's interested in. One that I read recently
She just loves biographies or autobiographies.
And she's about 50.
What?
She's about 50. There's a book called, what is it called? About the Korean girl adopted by America. Please, someone from Pages, call and remind me the title of this very, very popular book.
I don't know.
A Thousand Sorrows. I think it's called A Thousand Sorrows.
A Thousand Songs?
I think it's Sorrows. A Thousand Sorrows.
David's looking it up as we speak.
I should have brought up the Amazon page here because not that I'm advocating you shop Amazon, but it's
for
a great resource.
Sakes.
Purposes only.
Yeah, for research purposes only. I should have gotten this ready. My laptop here is a little slow. I'll see what I can do.
I believe it's called A Thousand Sorrows. It's about a little Korean girl who. It's actually very sad. I don't know if you're looking for something sad, but this is just.
She really doesn't need anything.
She doesn't need anything sad. Well, see, I'm really a fiction reader.
Yeah.
There's a lot of real good new biographies out, though. Check your bookstore. Check your local bookstore. Go to the biography section.
See, I can't get out very often, so if I got to
call them. You know what? Call Pages for All Ages Bookstore. I promise you, someone there will have something to recommend for you.
That would be a long-distance call for her. We'll say to people who are listening, if you would like to recommend a biography for the listener, a biography or autobiography, if you've read something recently, call us and tell us. And that's
great.
Really sort of the idea
that's
of the show,
whole point,
that we share the experiences about
and
stuff that
we've
read.
And the other thing I wanted to say as a bird watcher, I would recommend books by Jack Connor. He wrote The Complete Birder, A Guide to Better Birding. And if there's anybody in the area that is just starting birding or even into birding, I read it after I'd been in birding for about 15 years. And it just is such a good book. It covers every aspect of bird watching, from how to buy your binoculars and anything about birding, making lists, not making lists, where to go, the hot spots of birding. It's just a wonderful book on bird watching, The Complete Birder by Jack, A Guide to Better Birding by Jack Connor. And then he wrote Season at the Point, The Birds and Birders of Cape May, New Jersey. Okay. So those, that's something that I would recommend if anybody would like books on birding. Do you have any books on birding in your collection there this morning?
I just looked while you were speaking, and I couldn't find a thing.
I don't think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a great field for...
No, there is a novel called The...
Yeah, I just think we're fiction readers is the thing.
Yeah, and I was going to mention a novel called The Bird Artist by...
Norman...
Howard Norman, which is
a
wonderful novel.
Good.
It was nominated for the National Book Award a number of years ago. It's set in Newfoundland,
It's
about a young man who draws pictures of birds.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
He's
my
an
reading
artist.
Group really, really enjoyed
and
it.
And what's the author?
Howard Norman.
Oh, how great.
The Bird Artist.
Oh, thank you.
I can really recommend that novel.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for the call. Well, maybe there'll be some other people who would like to give us some recommendations on biography or or autobiography or, you know, whatever you would like to recommend. 333-WILL, toll free, 800-222-WILL. I see in front of you.
I just wanted to maybe change
this. This is
things.
A classic.
Yes.
It's sort of a classic.
This is something I just got my son.
He's going to read the whole thing.
Look at all the things. Well, these are very short. This is called The Devil's Dictionary by Ambrose Bierce. I was going to do it right after the Mark Salzman book. I think if you go from a convent to The Devil's Dictionary. But
sacred to profane.
Yes. Ambrose Bierce, as people must know, is a very well-known short story writer from the 19th century. And he's also quite well known for a book called The Devil's Dictionary, which is a dictionary that is, well, a little different from most of the other dictionaries that you may have consulted in your past. I'll read a few, see if I can stop. This is like, you know, you can't eat just one kind of a book. Mm-hmm. Egotist, noun. A person of low taste, more interested in himself than in me. Or on the page before that, edible, adjective. Good to eat and wholesome to digest. As a worm to a toad to a snake to a pig to a man, and a man to a worm.
Mm.
He's a cynical fellow.
A bit.
Mm. Where's, since we're on that subject, let me find hearse. Hearse, noun, death's baby carriage.
Ooh.
What were Bierce's dates? When about... was he around?
He made it into the 20th century, but not by much. I think in the teens or something. He actually served in the Civil War. He spread about, you know, a good part of the second half of the 19th century and moved his way into, I think, the first or second decade of the 20th.
I was sort of thinking of him as being a kind of contemporary of Mark Twain.
I
think of those two guys. Yeah. Maybe it was sort of their approach. I kind of think of those two guys together.
Yeah. Just let me do a couple more.
Yes.
Peace, noun, in international affairs, a period of cheating between two periods of fighting. Or year, a period of 365 disappointments. And maybe just one more, alone, adjective, in bad company.
Mm-hmm. Ambrose Bierce. And that's a book that certainly would be...
many different editions.
Easy to find, many editions. Probably shouldn't have any trouble finding in the library if you just like to look at it.
Absolutely.
But in a paperback, probably not terribly expensive.
It's one of those books where, and I came dangerously close to this, of annoying your friends by constantly reading new parts of it from, you know, from the book. You go, oh, read that. How about this one? This one, too. You know.
All right.
Yeah, right.
I have some callers, but let's come back. Do you want to do one more time?
Okay, I'll do one more. The Diagnosis. Alan Lightman, who also wrote Einstein's Dreams, which I also recommend.
Yeah.
The Diagnosis is a good book for anyone who's troubled by the age we live in. I have a computer in my house, but I am not plugged in to the internet. I do, however, use it at work a lot, but I kind of try and stay away from it at home, try not to get infiltrated with technology as much as possible. This is about a man who is who lives every day, minute to minute. He's constantly checking his watch. He's a businessman. He makes a lot of money. He carries a cell phone everywhere he goes. He carries a portable computer, laptop computer. And the motto of his company is the maximum information in the minimum time. So he never sort of takes a moment to enjoy himself. Mm-hmm. And he's always working, and he's not even really sure what he's working for. It's just this business. And he's envious of anyone who's one technological step ahead of him. Mm-hmm. And he's always trying to have the most modern things. And suddenly, one day, he's in the subway going to work as usual, and he's checking his watch and, you know, calling the office to make sure his meetings are in check. And he suddenly is on the subway and can't remember where he's going. He can't remember who he is, why he's on the subway, why he's, you know, he checks his pockets for any notes that he might have had. He can't remember what he does, looks around, looks at everybody talking on their cell phones. It's actually a very funny novel. If you like to laugh at people who are obsessed with technology. and he has no idea. He ends up basically naked on the subway. He doesn't know where his briefcase is. Goodness. Someone's beating him up, and oh my gosh, right? So he ends up in the hospital, and his wife doesn't know what's happened to him, and his children are upset, and they bring him home, and they don't know what's wrong with him. But he has this numbing in his hands. And the book is about him getting his memory back and trying to figure out what it is that he does and worrying and worrying and worrying. He's constantly worrying about doing things better and faster. Mm-hmm. And it's just enlightening to see how inundated we are with so many machines and how we never really take a moment to live or think, even. We've forgotten basically how to do this. And his diagnosis, I won't give it away, but basically he's sick with technology. He's sick with the modern age. He can no longer feel. And they don't know what's wrong with him.
Yeah.
It's really...
And the author is Alan Lightman, spelled like it sounds, Lighthman. And the title is The Diagnosis. Okay.
Great. Very good.
Let's. Shall we want talk to some other people on the phone?
Sure. Or you wanna, no, if they're out there, let's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm told, by the way, a listener says that Pages for All Ages has a toll-free number.
they do. I mentioned that to Philip just a minute ago, but I was ashamed that I couldn't remember it, so I didn't want to say.
Okay. Well, there is a place that you can get directory assistance for toll-free numbers, so they should be able to. You should be able to dial them up and get that. Let's talk with another caller. The next person in line is in Champaign, and this will be line one. Hello.
Hi. I got into my car, and I heard you say something about a book about elevators. I'm doing a multidisciplinary project on elevators, and I didn't get the book or the name of the author. Can you give that to me, please?
The Intuitionist.
By Colson
Whitehead.
So you got all three of us recommended it.
And it's a novel.
Right.
But it's it almost defies description because it is – it's sort of about elevators, but
more
it's,
than you could ever need to know about elevators.
That's fabulous. I can't wait to go get it.
But it's also about race relations, and they're and it's a sort of a world that we recognize but not quite. Like the main magazine, the most popular magazine in the world of this novel is not Life but Lyft.
And what is the place that they go to school? Is it the Institute for Vertical Transportation
that? Everybody's obsessed with elevators. The whole world is run by people being really interested in elevators.
And it's kind of a noir in its style and approach, and reminds one a little bit. It's sort of like a postmodern hard-boiled elevator noir, if that makes any sense.
I thought it was about race relations too. Yeah, it's
very
extraordinary.
As a central character is an African American woman who is works in the office of elevator inspectors, and she's the only woman, and there are only two black people there.
Yeah,
she's so
great. I I can't wait to get it. And it's two words, Whitehead.
One word, Coulson, and then his last name is Whitehead.
Great. Yeah. Thanks.
The Intuitionist.
All right. Thank you. Let's see. Let's go to Mansfield, line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm so excited. I'll probably talk really, really fast. I wanted to recommend to the woman who likes biographies.
Yes.
The one about Colette, Secrets of the Flesh.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Didn't it get the National Book Award or some award last year?
I don't know.
I know the book, but I can't remember if it... Can't remember if it won anything.
I can really recommend it just from the standpoint of an author who wasn't really recognized by the French and her life, kind of a
great
struggle and creativity and things like that.
And what? Who is the author of the?
The
book.
Oh, it was somebody I hadn't heard of. Secrets of the Flesh.
I can get it for you.
Judith Thurman.
Okay.
Yeah, National Book Award finalist. That's a big thing on mm-hmm. it. Also, I recommended in a more contemporary one. Is it Judy Mullen? She's a commentator for NPR, and she was just so funny on some of her commentaries. And she's written a book. She was told when she did her broadcast that she had to say "and now this" in a better way.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of takes that as a theme for her life. "And now this." And it's really interesting about the broadcast journalism, media, things that she's gone through also as a woman.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually Muller.
Muller. I thought it was Mullen or Muller.
Right, Muller. And she's she lives in Los Angeles. Do I remember that?
Yeah.
Right, I kind of think so. I certainly have heard many of her commentaries that have been on NPR.
Yes, and she's very funny. At the same time, had some real struggles,
yeah.
You know, with aging and treatment of women on the broadcast media. It was really good.
Great.
So those are my recommendations.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, and thank you for your program.
Wanted to mention, speaking of the National Book Award, that The Diagnosis was nominated this year as well, the book I just discussed.
Yet to be decided, too. It was just nominated like a week ago.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
So, yes, when you look at all the publishers are now in their advertising, if you've been nominated...
Oh, it's a great honor.
That's something you want to prominently feature. And then I'm sure whoever wins, people then do go out and buy those books.
I think all the books that get nominated get a big lift in sales because people are interested, you know.
Okay. For those of you keeping score at home, the toll-free number for Pages for All Ages is 800-228-8, I think, 7243.
That's it.
Now that I'm in my golden years, I have to get a little closer to the screen here. 800-228-7243. I'm sure they could help you out. And I know that any bookstore worth its salt, if you go in there, you have the title of the book or the author, or preferably both, they can get you the book. So,
and sometimes if you have neither.
It's like I'm sure that the people at the bookstore keep filed in their heads all kinds of information about books and plots, and I'm sure that sometimes if you can even get close, they can figure out what it is you're looking for. That's what they do. Another caller here. This is Downs, line number four. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I have another biography. This one is not new particularly, but it's the biography of Julia Child, called An Appetite for Life by Noel Riley Fitch. The last name is F-I-T-C-H. And I thought of that one particularly for someone who's in her 50s, because Mastering the Art of French Cooking wasn't published until Julia Child was 49. Her entire public career has been in her 50s and later, which is fairly astounding.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly I would think would be interesting to anybody who's interested in food and cooking, but
absolutely.
I guess you wouldn't have to be, probably.
No, she just has such an interesting life that, you know, from the war when she was in the OSS and onward. So it's a couple years old, but it's a good one.
Very good. Well, thanks. Let's see. We have just a couple of minutes here, and then we're going to take a break. But Philip and Tanya will be staying with us for the second hour, so we'll have some more book talk. And if you want to give us a call, recommend a book, you certainly can. By the way, I've just been handed this note that if you like his work and you followed his commentaries on Morning Edition, another of their commentators, this is the cowboy poet Baxter Black. He has a new book out, which is titled A Cowful of Cowboy Poetry, published by Coyote Cowboy Company. It's getting a little bit much here for me. But anyway, Coyote Cowboy Company. And so you can look for that at the bookstore. And if his particular style amuses you, you can go look for it. We want to do a real quick one? Sure,
I got a quick one here. This is a novel, a short novel, by Laurie Marie Carlson called The Sunday Tertulia. And this is a novel about a kind of ritual that a lot of Latin American women go through, and that is meeting once a month, the third Sunday of every month, for a tertulia in which they share food and they share advice and they share the stories of their lives. And there are a number of different women who are part of this tertulia: a retired pharmacist from Puerto Rico, a Mexican doctor, a Peruvian chef, an Argentine professor of literature. And all these women get together and they tell the stories of their lives, the difficulties they're having and so forth. And there are actually a couple recipes in here. But the basic thing is the sense of a sort of a women's culture from another tradition, a Latin American tradition. These tertulias, by the way, take place in New York. So these are people who are sort of living, not in exile necessarily, but cultural exile from their lands of birth, who are continuing this tradition of the tertulia. And it's an interesting book because it took me actually a little bit to get into it, because it doesn't have the normal sort of niceties of characterization and setting of scene that we expect from novels. They're basically just voices, the overlapping voices that keep talking at these tertulias. And it's a very, very beautiful book in sort of the glimpse that it gives you, not only of these women's lives, but all the different traditions that they come from different Latin American countries. It's a nice, very nice book.
And tell us the author again.
Laurie Marie Carlson, and the title is The Sunday Tertulia. T-E-R-T-U-L-I-A.
Okay, very good. Well, we're at the point here where we're just going to have to pause, and I promise we'll have more book talk, and Philip and Antonia will be with us for another hour, the second hour of the show. We need to pause for a couple things. We'll have our regular update of news, of course, and our market report. But once again, here, an opportunity for you to get yourself a little reading material. We have done this a couple of times now, and people seem to have liked it. So we're going to do it again. It's what we call Crazy Dave and Jack's Big Book Giveaway. How crazy? Well, you be the judge.
The only question is, which of us is crazier?
It's a toss-up on any given day. The number to call now, not the number for the show, but the number to make a pledge, 244-9455. You can do that right now, and you won't miss any more of the show. This is a great time to do it, sort of in the interval here. And if you call in and pledge at the basic level, $40, or if you're a student on fixed income, you can do the $25 level. And, of course, if you can do more, that would be great. We will send you a book. Righty right. And Jack Brighton is here again with us in the studio, and in Pledge Central, Maeve Riley. She is the editor of our program guide, Patterns Magazine.
And it's crazy, 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 crazy here. The phones are ringing, and we're getting lots of calls looking for books, fiction or nonfiction. And you can participate, too, if you call and make a pledge of $40 and above. And might I add, too, beside that wonderful book of fiction or nonfiction, you'll also get a subscription to Patterns, the monthly program guide.
Which is good for, you know, that's good for a little late-night reading, too.
Oh,
but
sure.
It'll only go so far.
It's not a
huge publication, you can't just, I mean, you can, you know, read a little bit every night.
Hey, I know people who live by that magazine, right?
Yes.
Including myself.
It's a fine publication and an award-winning publication.
Of course.
But in addition to that, on your coffee table, you might like to have, now Jack has brought in a few things.
Yeah, I brought in a few samples. This is just, a few of the nonfiction books I just grabbed off the shelf. Miriam Song by Mark Mathabain, who was a guest on Focus 580. Jeremy Rifkin's book, The Age of Access. Gosh, he was a guest on Focus 582, now that I think of it. Evan Thomas's new biography of Robert Kennedy, and I guess we're going to have him on Focus 582.
Yes.
Strange how this happens. American Dreamer, The Life of Henry Wallace, another interesting book that people may have seen. The Song of the Earth, Jonathan Bate. These are just a few of the many fine books you'll find in Crazy Dave and Jack's great book giveaway. And, you know, it just seems so typical for public radio to go crazy over books, doesn't it? I mean,
well, we're just so predictable.
Yeah.
That's just the kind of guys.
If you are crazy about books, then you belong with us as a friend of WILL, and we'll give you a book. 244-9455 is the number to pledge.
And how long will it take to make that pledge, Maeve?
Oh, just a minute of your time. We've got lots of volunteers sitting by waiting. Lois is actually knitting again, so she's got to stop knitting and answer the phone. So give her a call.
She, by this time, she's probably knitted enough sweaters so we can offer them as premiums.
That might be coming up, so hang on to your hats for that
All
one.
All right. 244-9455. Just promise it will take just a couple of minutes. Here, this is a good time here in between the 2 hours to do that. And we just like to remind you that your contributions make up a very substantial part of the budget for this station. We take that money and we spend it on programming. We spend it on the equipment, and we're in the process of trying to really modernize things, go to more digital equipment. We have been talking lately about the fact that we do need to do some maintenance on our towers to make sure that they continue to stand. So all of those sorts of here and there are things that need to be wired in, and so we're continuing to work on that. But you can help. You can help pay for the programming that you enjoy, and it's a really easy thing to do. 244-9455 is the number to call. And the last thought here before we go to the market update?
Just that, folks, there are not enough places really to hear about great books, I think, these days. I mean, certainly you can go to the bookstores, one of my favorite things to do. But talking about books, I mean, who'd think you could do a great show on that? And yet, David and these guests, Philip Graham and Tanya Tsoukalos, they come in here, and it's a lot of fun. So help us keep this going. 244-9455 with your pledge.
Okay. Focus 580, the show funded in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, a state agency. Programming on AM 580 also made possible by a grant from the Thrifty Nickel, distributed each Thursday in over 100 towns in East Central Illinois, on the web at www.thriftynickel.com. The Thrifty Nickel, it's a good little paper. We'll be back in a bit. Right now, an update on the market, so please stay tuned.